All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read verses 14 through 18. The Bible says here, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" These things just don't go together. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's part of the new covenant we talked about last week and this week, this morning, in the morning service. He'll write his laws in our hearts and in our minds. He'll put them in our minds. He'll put them in our hearts and write them in our minds, remember? Does it both ways. In other words, there's a big difference. God is in us. Ye are the temple of the living God. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Separation from the world. It's a thing that most Christians don't even consider anymore. Even those who call themselves Bible-believing Christians. There's a difference in degrees of how people look at it and see it. Some people don't believe there's any difference, and they don't make any difference in their life. They'll go anywhere, do anything. They'll associate themselves with anybody. They'll participate in anything that the world throws out there. Never question whether God's pleased with it or not. Well, it's an important thing that all Christians have always understood. It's real plain in the Bible. We're not of this world. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Yep. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So when you're saved out of this world. We're still in the world, but we're not of the world anymore. We're a peculiar people. We're a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're separate. And we're different. And there's a reason for it, and that's what I want to talk about tonight in just a few minutes. Why? Why should we be separate from the world? Why does God order it that way? Why should it be? Well, here's why. "So our heart will not set its affections on people and things of this world." If if we make the celebrities of this world, if we hold them high in front of our children, they will love them and they will emulate them and they'll pattern their lives and want to be like them. They call it role models, you know. And that's just the way people are. You're living in a generation that's like the last generation before the flood. Celebrities. That men worship men. They look up. They make gods out of each other. They take certain among them and make them into gods. It's celebrities. And so that's what happens. Why should we be separate from them? Well, because I've said this to you a lot of times, when you gaze upon something, your heart will attach itself to it. You just keep looking at it, and, that goes for a dog, a cat, a car. I mean, people are really goofy when it comes to setting the affections of their heart on things of this world. So we won't be deceived by the vain words and the smooth talkers of this world. That's why we're to be separate. If you stay away from it, and if you fill your mind with other things, if you look at the things and meditate on the things that God said for us to, then you won't be setting your affection on things of this world. Whatever you look at, whatever you occupy your mind with, whatever you gaze upon, that's what you're going to love. Where your heart is, there's where your treasure is. So the reason for being separate, the reason for stepping away from it, the reason for doing something else besides what everybody else does, Occupying yourself with something besides what everybody else does is so that you don't set your heart's affections on things of this world, and so that you're not deceived by the vanity of this world and the talk of this world. So we won't be led off into sin and rebellion against God. That's why we're to be separate. That right there is what I just said. Separation is not an identification as a Christian. We're not to be identified as, you know, those people who are separate. It's, and maybe you'll understand what I'm talking about here in a second, but separation is not an identification mark, and a lot of Baptists have made it that way that I know in my lifetime. They've made it the mark of being saved. If you're not separated from the world, you're not saved. Well, there's some truth there. I mean, if you're of the world, you're going to act like the world.
That's right.
You know the old saying, if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
That's right.
That's what it is. We are to be identified by our conversation, our walk, our spirit. We're not separated in order to show the world that we're Christians. That's what I'm getting at here. That's not the reason for being separate from the world. So that they'll see how different we are, and they'll come to be saved. It doesn't happen that way. Jesus said by this in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you're separate from the world. Is that what he said?
No,
that's not what he said. That if you have love one to another, it's the love we have toward one another. That's what identifies us. This morning what I talked about, the verses I read to you, in this are the children of God manifest and the children of the devil. He that doeth righteousness, he that doeth not righteousness, is not of God.
Right.
Neither he that loveth not his brother. How do you know who's saved and who's not? Right there. And so, if we love one another, and if we walk in righteousness, that's our identification. And see, that interweaves with being separate from the world, because the world is full of wickedness. Their entertainment, their music, their fashions, their conversation, their philosophies, everything about them, all the rudiments of the world are wicked and defiled. And so if you're walking in that, wallowing in that, if you're involved in it, then you can't be walking in righteousness. You have to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We just read it there. So, it's not as something to feed our pride either. The world's not impressed with us when we separate from them. They hate us if we separate from them. And that's the main reason that most people won't separate from worldly people and worldly things. Because they know that it's offensive to them when I refuse to participate. They think it's strange that you don't go with them to the same excess that you did before. They think something wrong with you. That's what they told me. They said, you're crazy. You're brainwashed. Well, yeah, I was. I was brainwashed. Good thing, too, because my brain was messed up with all the worldliness and junk like that. Got straightened out, and they thought it was... I think they're crazy. They live without God and act as if He doesn't exist, dope themselves out of their mind, drink themselves out of their mind, destroy their life, their health, their family, their children. I think they're crazy. There's a better way to live than that.
Yes, sir.
Anybody that leave God out of it, just common sense tells you that's a crazy way to live, but that's the way the world does, and they say it's fun, and they live for the weekend, and so everybody just keeps doing it and keeps doing it. Don't you think it's kind of crazy to live like that? Well, then we ought to separate from it. It's not something to feed our pride. The world's not impressed. They're offended by our separation from them and from their ideas and their ways and their pleasures. You know, why won't you drink a little booze? What's wrong with drinking a little beer now and then? That's their way of thinking. And if you say, no, I'm not going to do it, that's offensive to them. You know why it's offensive to them? Because it condemns them.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Why don't you dress a little more sexy? Why don't you dress a little more acceptable to the world? Why you have to be such a plain Jane? Why you want to do that? And when you say no, then it condemns them. That's why it's offensive to them. Oh, it does.
Yes, sir.
I watch women who dress immodestly, and it's real plain when they come into the church. You know, I don't know how many times we've had it happen in church here. You know, where women come in and they're dressed different than the rest of you. You know, that women just wear leggings everywhere now. Mm-hmm. They might as well be naked.
Yes, sir. That's true.
But it's become so acceptable. They've got so used to it and so desensitized to it that they walk around naked and don't think anything of it until they're surrounded by people who aren't.
Yes.
And then they feel naked.
Yes, that's true.
And they're ashamed. And I've watched women, I feel kind of bad for them because, you know, they've just been swallowed up and carried along with the world, and they don't really think about it until they're faced with the difference. And then all of a sudden it becomes real to them and they feel ashamed and naked, and here they are stuck in the middle of this, and man, they can't wait till it's over. Now I watch and I can tell you that's how it is. So it's offensive to the world when we separate from them, because when we say, no, can't do that, it's wrong. You don't even have to say that. They just assume that you think what they're doing is wrong and you're condemning them. That's the way they react. We all know that. So that's why the temptation to compromise is so strong when it comes to separating from the world. You just know that you hear their questions, you see their looks, you feel their vibes, as everybody says, and you don't. It's unpleasant. You want people to like you. You don't want to be offensive to people. You're not trying to be offensive. You're just trying to please God and do what's right. But Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me. And how could they hate our Lord and love us? Something wrong there. If either we're not like Him or something else wrong, that's all it can be. We're just not like Him, or they would hate us too. So Pharisees take pride in their separation and they use it to impress other Pharisees. That's the way it is. Independent Baptists are bad at this. But the Pharisees, that's what they did. What did Jesus say about them? He named all the things they did. Boy, they wear their phylacteries and make long their garments. And they put on this outward show of holiness and separation. They're set on a pedestal above everybody else. Well, that's not biblical separation. And that's not even got anything to do with the reason for it and the purpose of it. What is the reason for it? Because it'll defile your heart, your mind. It'll steal your affections away from God. And it'll ruin your testimony and your life. If you hang around the world and you keep looking at their toys and you keep playing with their toys and you keep interested in all of the things they've got. It's not something. Separation is not something to replace our true walk with God. I've known a lot of people that are as separate as they can be and headed for hell with the rest of the dope and drinking world, whoremongering world. They're headed right to the same hell because their heart's as black as it can be. May look good on the outside, but on the inside they're full of dead men's bones. Separation doesn't make you a Christian. Separation doesn't make you elevated in the world. Separation is about keeping your heart to God.
Right.
About keeping your affection on God and the things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Real salvation is about more than just legalistic obedience or conformance to certain standards of dress and behavior and other things. Separation is about more than outward habits and clothes and all of this stuff. And that doesn't justify those things. Just because salvation is not about separation, separation accompanies salvation. Is that, why is that so hard for everybody to understand? Why you got to throw everything out? That's what we've heard for so many years. You're a bunch of legalists. Well, don't give me that junk. Don't you tell me that. What are you then? If you don't believe in any kind of standards and you don't have believe there's any lines anywhere concerning morality and separation from the world, what kind of a creature are you?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Salvation's not about a bunch of rules and all of that. Salvation and separation is about not being like the world and participating in their sinful, ungodly things.
Exactly.
Thinking. Talking. And the things you allow and introduce to your mind and your heart. It's more, you know, most want to make this their religion. Separation is their religion. But that's a vain religion. You know, these monks, they separate themselves and they go up in a castle somewhere in the middle of nowhere and sit there for years and don't even speak. And they think that's being a Christian. They can be a better Christian that way. No, you can't. We're in the world, but not of the world. God left us here in this world as a light, as the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost his savor, what does that mean? Well, he's just become like everything else. No difference. His presence doesn't change the flavor of anything. He's useless. Good for nothing. His presence doesn't bring any light into the darkness of this world. You know, I hesitate to name names and talk about certain people because they might listen. But I mean, every once in a while, we get some people that come around, our family, our church, who come from a totally different world. When they visit us, then that's where this all comes into play. They see the difference, and they see it in a good light, not in an offensive light. They see how life can be, could be, how different it is from where they are. In the darkness and hopelessness and loneliness. If you're not different than the world, then you have no hope to offer them. They can't see anything in you worth having.
That's right.
Nothing different. And it's not some special ability or some special talent or some anything special about us other than the fact that we love God and live for God and try to please God and don't love this world. And we stay separate from this world. And your influence will be by the degree with which you're separate from this world. In your home, in your mind, in your daily activities. God takes that and uses it. Most try to make it their religion, though. They seems that most are satisfied with that kind of religion. I'm talking about the Baptists that I've known in my lifetime. That's as far as they want to go. I've seen a whole generation or two lost here in the time that I've been a Christian, while everybody just stayed on that subject without any reason for it, without any explanation for it other than pride. And making a name for themselves and being satisfied. You know what I mean? And here's exactly what I mean. If a boy will cut his hair and dress just right and the girls will wear the right clothes, you just consider them okay. They're saved as the Apostle Paul. And the whole mess has went to hell.
Yes, sir. Sure.
In a handbasket,
yes,
buddy.
Yes,
it's all went down the drain. And generations here have been lost with that kind of explanation for things.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't give any explanation. You know, they just want you to jump on their wagon of pride and ride with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that wagon wears out.
Mm-hmm.
Biblical separation is about protecting your mind and heart from people, places, and things that poison the mind and influence the heart. You got to really work at it when you work in a public place now. All you guys, people that work in places, public places, you're around it all the time. Whatever time you're at work, you're bombarded with their profanity, with their ungodliness, with their whoredoms continually going on. Now that we, that everything, women are in the workplace everywhere and running things, that's all we got. The whole world's just a house of whoredom everywhere you go. It's unbelievable. Unbelievably wicked. That's always been that way. No, it hasn't.
No.
Not like this. It has progressed to a point where you got a battle on your hands. You've got to be different in here. You got to walk with God. I hope that all of you do something at home. I hope you don't just, that all you get is what you get here when you're here at church. I hope you read your Bible. I hope you read other things. I hope you study and pray and think about things and try to grow yourself.
Yes,
at home.
Yes.
With your family. I hope you do something with your family besides watch TV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, biblical separation is about protecting your heart and your mind from people, places, and things that poison your mind and influence your heart. Exodus chapter 34, verse 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. Are y'all listening? Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. So you get out there and get to being buddies and pals with them. Next thing you know, you're at their house visiting, and they're at your house visiting, and you're eating with them. And that's what he's talking about here. Right. Lest one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. See, that's what I'm telling you. What's the purpose of it? What's the reason behind it? Why does God command it in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? Separation. Come out from among them and be separate. Don't form alliances with ungodly people. What communion hath light with darkness? And what has the temple of God to do with idols? These things don't go. You can't do that. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because it'll happen just what he said right there. First thing you know, your whole family's going to be corrupted. Your daughters are going to be marrying their sons, and their sons are going to marry your daughters, and it's just going to be all, you're going to lose it all. Judges 3, verses 5 through 7. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Why did they dwell among them? Because they didn't kill them like God said to when they took the land. God said, get rid of them all. They're defiled. The land's defiled because of them. And they didn't do it. So now they're dwelling among them. And they took their daughters to be their wives. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Missionaries that go to fields where people are black, or some other color, or some other race, it's pretty common now for their children to marry. Yeah. And it's okay now. Yeah, yeah. There's just one race, you know, the human race. How foolish.
That's right.
I say how wicked it is for people to do. It's God who set the bounds of their habitations. It's God who ordained the day. Who made black people and white people and yellow people and red people? God did.
Yes, sir, he did.
And he ordained it so. And this untoward generation is trying to undo everything in the order of God. Just like everything else, they want to erase the difference between male and female. Black and white.
Yeah.
Everything. It shouldn't be.
No.
It's wrong. God says be separate. And the world says, under the authority and rule of the devil, the world says, we're going to make it all the same. Erase the differences. The devil hates God's order. So they took their daughters to be their wives, gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You see, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, they didn't get around Israel and intermarry with them and then start serving their God. It never works that way.
Right.
Never does.
Yep.
It works the other way. And they forget the Lord their God and serve Balaam and the groves. They forgot God and fell in love with all the idols of the world. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 44. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Who was the king of Israel? Ahab. Wicked Ahab. And Jehoshaphat was a God-fearing, God-worshipping man whose house was pretty good in order. Jehoshaphat was a man who sought after God and sought to do God's will. But here's where he messed up. He made an alliance. He made peace with the king of Israel, with one of the wickedest kings that Israel ever had, who had one of the wickedest wives that ever walked. And he made peace with him. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 2 and 4. Wonder how it worked out. Wonder how it worked out when that good king made peace with that wicked king. Surely the wicked king got saved, and that wicked wife of his got saved and saw the light, and all, and everybody lived happily ever after. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. See, came down. The king, the low-living king didn't come up. The high-living king went down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Would Jehoshaphat be thinking things like that? Would he be looking around eyeing stuff that somebody else got and said, that ought to be mine. I ought to just take it. Would a godly man be thinking like that?
Yeah.
Well, Ahab is. He's ungodly. Mm-hmm. But Jehoshaphat is down there with him while he is saying this stuff. See? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? Well, I mean, when you make peace with somebody, when you become friends with them, and you start associating with them and intermingling with them, first thing you know, they're going to ask you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. They're going to draw you in. They're going to be asking you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. That's what happened. Wilt thou go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead? What benefit was it to Jehoshaphat? It was Ahab's greed and pride and just ungodly meanness. Go down there and just take it away from him. It's mine. I want it. It's mine. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people is thy people. My horses is thy horses. You see what had happened to him? They were enemies. Now they're friends. Because this man who served God decided that love would cover everything. You know, if I could just go down there and be friends with him, let my kids play with his kids, and they could see then something good and a better way to live and be, and might do old Ahab some good. Sure would like to win old Ahab to the Lord. So let's just mix up with him. My horses are as your horse. My people, I am as thou art. My people as thy people. My horses as thy horses. In other words, now there's no difference between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. There's no difference between his wife and Ahab's wife. His children and Ahab's children. There's no difference in us. I mean, we're all sinners and we know that. Jehoshaphat's eldest son, Jehoram, was married to Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab, who was a very wicked woman. I mean, she did her mother proud, being just like her. Jehoshaphat's son, who might have grown up to be a godly man, who raised godly children, who stayed faithful to God, and left something in this world that was worth leaving to the benefit of others and the blessing of others. Instead of that, he ended up marrying Ahab's wicked daughter and throwing everything away. Anyone or anything that tends to draw your heart away from God, anyone or anything of this world that attracts the affections of your heart or is likely to, you're not. This thing's like we talked about the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't follow you around spanking you but for doing bad things. He goes before you and leads you in the way of righteousness. He stops you before. Well, that's the way this works too. Separation is something that you're looking out ahead about. You're not just stumbling along dealing with things as they come. You're careful, in other words, about what you get involved with, who you get involved with, how wide you open the doors, and how far you let them into your house. You understand that at all? And it's not because you feel like you're better than everybody else. It's because you're guarding your heart and you know what can happen, what might happen. And here's where generations are lost. Because parents grow up, they've got some morals and some standards, and they get old enough to stand on their own two feet, and so they'll allow things for their children that they know there's no challenge to them. You understand? TV shows, music, language, people around them. You know, I can deal with some people and their language. I'm not talking necessarily about profanity, but it includes that. But I'm talking about their philosophies and stuff. I mean, I think I'm anchored enough to that they ain't, and they're not going to sway me. I mean, I'm not listening to that foolishness. I'm not swallowing it. But these children and others around me that are not where I'm at, they will swallow it. They'll swallow some of it or all of it.
Yes, sir, they sure will.
You've heard the old saying, what the parents tolerate, the children embrace. And man, they take it and run with it. And it's true, it's true, it's true. Why separation? That's why. Your garden, your heritage. You're guarding your posterity as well as your own soul. Don't you think it's worth being careful about? Don't you think it's worth paying some attention to? Isn't it worth some sacrifice? Isn't it worth a little bit of ridicule from ungodly people? What do you care about them criticizing you and making fun of you or saying bad things about you? Why do you care about that? Why would you rather manage things so you can eliminate that and lose your children to the devil? We're living in an ungodly world, buddy. I mean, a dark generation here, and I don't think any of us even begin to understand the power of darkness in the time that we're living in. I'm more and more, I just shudder more and more all the time when I see the power of darkness around us. How it is deceiving people that I didn't think would ever fall for it. How I see it defiling families and children and minds and hearts that, you know, that you have hope for and you pray for and you hope for. I've just seen it so many times. I mean, you live long enough and you watch the thing long enough, you see what really happens, and it don't take much. Boy, people get to fooling with the world. They just step out of the separation realm just a little bit. And first thing you know, man, they're all in the world. They don't come and kidnap you away. Now, that isn't how it happens. You go to them. Slowly, slowly, little by little, bit by bit, they just get you. And it's the devil's work. There's such danger in this that the Bible likens it to a strange woman enticing a man. Once we're enticed and the affections of the heart are stolen away, it does no more good to talk to us than to and warn of the danger than to talk to a stump. That's right. You ain't going to talk nobody out of it. I've never seen anybody in my life yet that was talked out of it once they were on the way. That's right. Once in a while, a prodigal comes back. You know, I remember Gene Davis over here a couple, 3 or 4 years ago. He was here and he, you know, I don't know if how many of y'all remember, but he made mention of the fact that years ago, you know, he was in church for years, all the time. He's a kid and everything. And then he went and joined the service. He got out. I mean, he was out. And I talked to him one time during that time that he was out, or when he was on his way out. I don't even remember the particular thing. I remember when it was all going on and the burden about him. But he said that I told him one time, I said, you just can't quit. Gene, you can't quit. But he did anyway, you know, for a time. But what I said to him, he always remembered. Well, now he's pastoring a church, so, you know, it was one of those that made it back. But, buddy, those are few. Yes. You better believe it now. Those are very few that make it back. The people and things of the world that we're to be separated from have such power to influence us. And it's just so much more in the time we're living in. I know we talk about it so much and everybody talks about it all the time, these phones and gadgets and everybody's connected, but I'm telling you, I don't think we really understand what a powerful thing that is and what it's doing to the human race right now. Spiritually, morally, it's destroying everything. I mean, fast. Everyone will change according to the crowd they're in, and they'll go along with what they think other people are doing. The fashions. Whatever the world does. Do you ever watch them? Most of you here are so young that you ain't lived long enough to see how this happens. If I told you that, you know, 10 years from now, everybody would have their noses cut off their face and just go around with no nose, you'd laugh and say, oh, you're so crazy. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Well, if you would have told me when I was a kid that all the boys would be what they are now, sissies, effeminate, I mean, weak wimps with earrings in their ears and gauges and tattoo. If you'd have told me that the young women would ruin their body with these tattoos and stuff, defile and dishonor themselves this way, I'd have said, you're crazy. That boys ain't never going to be like that. But see, I've lived long enough to see what happens. One starts doing it. It's like you talked about this morning, movements. Well, these fashions and fads are the same way. They'll eat Tide Pods. They'll do all of these crazy suicidal things just because somebody else did it. Just to be part of the deal, to be popular, to fit in with everybody else. Look at them. Just look at your average. I saw a picture the other day, and it was this human, but you couldn't tell if it was a man or female. It had the form of a woman, but it had whiskers on its face. It had tattoos all over, and colorful garments of whatever. It wasn't a dress, wasn't pants, it wasn't any kind of clothes, any normal part. It was just some kind of freakish thing that was, in every way you could imagine, distorted and out of order and abnormal. And the thing said, you know, couldn't get a job. But that's the way it is. They look like that now. That's the thing. Why? Well, because somebody else did it. And they started and they have taken another step farther. And you don't think that'll ever happen to you. You think you can take anything. You can be around anybody. You can be influenced anybody. You start hanging around people that do that stuff, you're going to be doing it before long.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And that is just a fact. Not me. Yes, you will too. Their fashions and their ideas and their habits and their attitudes will affect our hearts and minds. God said it would thousands of years ago, and it still works the same way. We'll inevitably grow fond of and adopt some of their ways. You get around them, that's what happened. They got around the Canaanites, and they got to know them. I mean, they're neighbors, and their kids played together. First thing you know, they had one another over for dinner. And they talked about things, and they talked about religion and things, and they found common ground, and they found similarities. And the first thing you know, they saw their little children crying, and Mama comforting them, and they saw these are just folks. They're just like everybody else. I mean, they're just like us. And then you start having these affections toward them because, you know. And God doesn't want that to happen to us as Christians with this world.
That's right.
We're to care about their souls. And we're to care about their lives and all of that. But when you start mingling with them, then you start adopting their ideas instead of them adopting your ideas. Mm-hmm. See, the church got it all backwards in the day we live in. They've changed the church into nightclubs and party houses. And they've adopted the world's entertainment in the church in order to get them to come to the church. Well, what you got? You got a church or you got a disco or a nightclub? Well, you got a club, a nightclub, or a disco. You ain't got a church anymore. You've become what they are. See? There's no difference. Usually without even realizing that they've changed to fit the crowd, they'll argue that they haven't changed. They'll cling to that profession of faith and still cling to that identity as a Christian, but in every outward aspect there of the world, and really on the inward too. That's the heart. That's the problem. And that's the reason for separation, is because of the heart and mind is changed to conform to the world that hates God, that takes God's way and turns it upside down in every way. Why is there so many people sitting in churches right now that sympathize with the sodomites, with these transgenders? Are they gonna sympathize with the pedophiles too? Because that's what's on the next. That's the next one. And then animals? I mean, how far are they going to go with that? All the way. That's how far they're going to go. All the way. When you sympathize with them and you identify with their feelings, you are one of them.
Yes, sir.
You're not anything to do with God anymore. Your mind has been changed, your affections have been changed, and you are of the world, not of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How many of you know where that's at in the Bible? Psalm 1. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now that is Bible. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You can't set in on their conversation and carry on with them and not be one of them. That's all there is to that. Why? Because your heart is going to be affected. And your mind is going to be changed.
Right.
It's just the way it happens. It's just the nature of the way it happens in this upside down world. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to separate from the world. You're going to have to come out from among them and be separate. It's never been that hard of a thing for me, because the day I declared where I stood, that was the end of my fellowship with the world. They quit coming around me. I had people at my house every day, and they quit immediately. They quit. And it wasn't because I said, "Now listen, I ain't going to put up." I didn't say nothing. They heard about it and said, "That's it, buddy. We ain't having nothing to do with him. He's crazy. Lost his mind. He's going to be one of them. Then he's not one of us." That's the way they look at it. So if you're not going to be separated from the world, it's going to be your choice, not theirs. You're the one that's going to decide to be one of them. They don't drag you out of the church and say you can be one of us. They don't want you until you renounce everything and be one of them. Then they'll accept you. All right, Father, thank you for the truth. Pray you bless it to our hearts. Pray you watch over us now and we can get home safely. And I pray you'd work in our hearts about this matter. Grieves me at all the folks that I know who are ignoring these truths right now. And the price that they're going to pay is so dear. If I could only make them understand what it's going to be like when they see the fruit appearing of what they're doing right now. Please help them. Lord, and I know people everywhere, this is a thing that's being ignored in the pulpits right now. At the time when it ought to be cried aloud the most, it's being dropped from all conversation among Christians. Please help the folks here. Help us to understand that we must be separate from the world, and the reason why is because we're going to protect our heart and our mind and keep our body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, holy for God who lives in us. And Lord, we're just not going to be defiled by this ungodly world around us. Help us, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.